From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Winter cold has just finally descended here, and I'm already missing the smells of the growing season, from the range of flowers to just brushing up against herbs out by the vegetable garden. Ken Drews is with me today to encourage us to extend our season of sensual gardening. That's S-C-E-N-T, sensual, as in fragrance, and as in the title of his book, The Sensual Garden. He urges us to include extra late and extra early producers, and also some indoor stars for a full year of fragrance. More in a moment, but first, this message.
Underwriting support from Color Blends, supplying top-quality spring-blooming Dutch flower bulbs to landscape professionals and ambitious home gardeners. More information on the web, colorblends.com.
Longtime friend Ken Drews, who gardens in New Jersey, is the author of 20 garden books, including The Sensual Garden, about the many fragrances the plant world can offer, which is our topic today. Hi, Ken. I'm ready for some nice fragrance.
Oh, I'm glad, Margaret, because I know that we... You have a lower bad scent?
I do. I have a very perceptive little nose. And so since if I like them, it's fine. But boy.
Yeah, whew. I know.
Yeah, but it's funny because, you know, you can come inside and you know, it's dry and it's hot. You know, it's the heating season suddenly. We didn't have that until this past week where I am. And because it was unseasonably warm. But now it's kind of like, well, except when you're cooking, there's no real fragrance. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
except
well,
when you're cooking.
Here there is, because I've got a couple of bowls filled with some unusual fruits and they smell.
Yeah. Well, because you're so clever, you always remember to have those sort of, you know, almost like potpourri, right? The old days of potpourri.
Oh,
well,
so forth. Except these are really natural.
Yeah.
We grow a tree called Pseudocydonia, which is Chinese quince, and it has beautiful bark. It's sort of patchy, like camouflage, and very late, it still has fall color. It still has almost all its leaves, and it has kind of not that pretty fruit, but the fragrance in the bowl, just you can smell it from about 30 feet away, and thankfully, it's very nice, but it's very complex. It's like pear with apple and guava and citrus and violet all mixed up, and it hits you like, you know how cilantro, you can almost feel it as you smell it.
It's one of my favorite fragrances. Yes,
and we could talk about why that is, because it's a whole big genetic thing.
But
I just mean that it, in the way that cilantro, you can almost feel it. So this is a fragrance you can almost feel. And something else that we've been talking about that's so beautiful, I always get them for a bowl on the table in the fall. And then when they start to kind of go, and they last a long time, I move them to where I got them so that they will be where they might grow, even though they're from the Midwest and they grow here. Because the Osage orange, it's also called hedge apple. It was very popular as a fence post material because the wood lasts a very long time. It's very hard wood, and they used to make furniture out of it, outdoor furniture even. But the fragrance of these funny, gnarly, they're almost like brains, and they're a gorgeous chartreuse color.
Right, chartreuse brains.
Yeah, chartreuse brains the size of softballs. They probably weigh, you know, almost a pound a piece. And they smell kind of like grapefruit and ginger, but really it's indescribable. It's a wonderful, wonderful fragrance.
So that's Maclura?
Maclura pomnifera.
Right.
And the Osage orange is like, apple.
Yeah. And so it's funny because the other day I sent you the link, you know, texted you the link or something like that, when I saw that Ned Friedman, the director of the Arnold Arboretum up at Harvard University, he posted a, you know, I think it was on Instagram or something, he posted a picture of at a crosswalk, you know, where there's a little button where if you want to cross, you press the button, and there's like a little metal box that has the button, you know, don't walk, etc. And above that, on the top lip of the little box with the button, there was one of these Osage oranges sitting, you know, this green brain, as you say, this hedge apple sitting there. And he said, his caption was something like, you know, only at the Arnold Arboretum. We know when someone picked that up and put it there, like, you know. But it is funny because you will see them sometimes in the roadsides by where there are some trees. You know, you'll see a whole crop of them on the ground.
I worked in Washington temporarily a couple of times, and people hated them because they were planted as street trees.
Right.
And the fruits used to fall on cars and dent the cars.
Yeah. There. So now that to go back to that Chinese quince just for a second. So that's that plant is how? Where does it grow? How? What exactly? Because I think quince, I think either a big shrub or a tree or something. So what is that again?
It's a tree.
It's a tree. It's okay.
Chinese quince.
Yeah.
And quince, well, even the fruit quince has a very strange and wonderful kind of pear apple smell. And quinces are still used in perfumes, including Britney Spears' Fantasy.
And now, do you grow the pseudocydonia? Do you grow the Chinese quince tree? Yeah. Okay. Okay. And so you don't, it's not like where you find, like with the Osage orange, you find one somewhere and you grab it and use it for its, you know, you enjoy it in its fragrance season in a bowl or whatever. So this is something that you grow.
Yep. Because it's a very beautiful tree. You know, it has patchwork like a cornice kusa, you know, that it's beautiful.
The bark.
Mm-hmm. The bark, right.
Oh, interesting.
And then it has shiny red leaves. And it's in the rose family. So I was going to say it's shiny red leaves like a pear, but we don't want to talk about pears.
Yeah. So that's just sort of bringing us to the, and I assume that you're saying that these fruits are produced in the fall. So this is something that you might still be enjoying if you had a crop and they're still in good enough shape to have that nice.
Right. Probably fragrance. Almost to Christmas. Almost.
Oh, okay.
And these are not edible fruits. I know everybody wants to grow something edible.
Okay.
But it won't harm you. I don't think the McClure, I have never tasted it, but it probably is awful. And the pseudocydonia, the fruits are as hard as wood.
Okay.
One year I had a whole bunch and I tried to make jelly and I, you know, did what you do to make jelly. I think I got about 6 ounces of jelly.
Nice. That was a good day in the kitchen.
Kettle full.
Yeah.
They're really hard as wood.
So, so, you know, that's sort of the fall and like where we're having the last of things. And, you know, I was thinking about, I was in anticipation of talking to you, I was trying to think, well, what was the last wonderful scent that the garden had? And, you know, I like the smell of fall leaves. And so, you know, that's sort of when it first all comes undone and it's a dry day. And, you know, it's not that I don't like that, but like
have the you native- ever smelled the katsura tree?
I don't have one.
We have three and different ones. and we had some guests this last weekend and I can't smell it, but people walk through the garden and they say, cotton candy, it smells like caramel. It smells like caramel. And it's the yellowing and fallen leaves of the Cercetophyllum japonicum.
Oh.
That not to me for some reason. And I can smell everything, but I can't smell this tree.
Huh.
But it's famous for its cotton candy fragrance.
And it's a beautiful tree.
I interrupted
tree.
You. Yeah. Oh, well, we have two different weeping ones and the species.
Okay.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's okay. And so what are its other, I mean, in terms of growing it, we're not just going to grow it for the cotton candy smell and of the fallen leaves, but what are some of its other sort
Well, of- if you think of Cercetophyllum, the leaves are like a red bud, like Cercis.
Like Cercis, okay.
So it has very pretty leaves, yellow fall color, and I have two weeping ones. One is Marioka weeping, which goes tall and the branches weep right to the ground like a weeping willow. And the other one's called Pendula, and it's short, but it makes new branches and stems the whole season. So it's sort of like Cousin It, you know, it's got a mop look. But then the leaves turn yellow. And when we were walking through the garden, the leaves were on the ground. And the guests said, oh, what's that smell?
And any fragrance? It. Are there flowers? Excuse me, any flowers? Any fragrance? Any flowers earlier or anything?
Oh, on the tree?
On Katsura.
No, but it's really a beautiful tree, though.
Okay. Okay. We'll show some pictures with the transcript over on Away to Garden. And I should have said at the beginning, let's do a giveaway, of course, with the transcript over on Away to Garden. Let's do a giveaway of The Sensual Garden, your book, which is so gorgeous and really delves into why things smell and all the ranges of scents in the whole, you know, natural world. I mean, it's really in depth. So throughout the year and so forth, and lots of beautiful pictures. But I was thinking about how in the fall, like I know coming up in the new year, and sometimes for me, it's, you know, January, sometimes it's February, here in the North Country, you know, I have the Asian witch hazel hybrids that have one of the first scents of the new garden. But do the fall witch hazels, the native Hamamelis virginiana, do they have a scent? I've never actually gone. I have them around the edge of my property, you know, native ones, just that it were
it's
there.
It's kind of, right. I have to, and they have fall color.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, some of them, it's weird. Some of them drop their leaves so you can see the flowers. Some of them don't. And the flowers are kind of obscured. I mean, individuals. I don't know what it is. And some of the individuals have a very slight fragrance, but some of them don't. Maybe it's the time of day. But the fragrance is like witch hazel in the bottle. You know, that specific sort of, it's not really alcohol-y, although it's got alcohol, I guess. But it's that funny witch hazel, clean witch hazel, astringent smell, but very slight. It's not like the wonderful ones that we're going to have in the spring, like the hybrid X intermedias, and also the native Bernalis, and that's like spring, right? Vernal,
right.
But do you have any?
I don't have any Bernalis. No, yeah.
I grow one that's a dwarf called Quasimodo. It came from Broken Arrow, and it's only about 2 feet high and 2 feet wide, and it's covered with flowers in the spring for a very long time. And the fragrance, if I had to say what's it like, I'd say juicy fruit gum. It's a very fruity, sweet smell, and not from far away.
I have a few of the intermediate, the Chinese, Japanese witch hazel hybrids that again bloom after the new year here, but I and they have a sweet fragrance. I'll have to check in January or February and see if it's juicy fruit gum for them too. But and then of course, you know, so that's the other end. We just closed out the season and we were talking about some of the things that had scent, and then when it begins, even before the main event of the growing season, that many of us know what we love about, you know, what fragrant plants we love.
The flowering bulbs, for example.
Right. So it really, then it starts to really, lots of possibilities. But what about the off season? Like, so now we're in the north, we're indoors now a lot. So any hope?
Well, we were talking about smells we like and smells we don't like, and you made me think of paper white narcissus, because many people give it its own room because they hate the smell so much. And it's kind of a perfume, but it's just too much. It's got a chemical compound in it that's the reason it's unpleasant. But I've grown a couple of varieties. One's In Ball, maybe you've seen that, and Winter Sun is another one, and they're not the giant Israeli ones, and the fragrance is much softer, so that's possible, and it's great to force them, you know, it's so easy, they don't need chilling or anything, you just put them in some water between November and January, and then they bloom.
Yeah, I that's interesting that some are less intense scented, because I definitely don't like the super, and that chemical, is that the chemical Indole?
Yes,
it's Indole. Is that how you say? I remember that from your book. Yeah.
It sort of smells like politely mothballs, but it's actually in excrement. So the reason people are sensitive to
that means? That's what that means?
Indole. I don't know how it got to.
But that's what it smells like. It's just
to me, it smells, I'm going to tell you what it smells like, old urinal cakes.
Yeah.
Which you probably never smell.
No,
being like a girl and all,
but that's right. Exactly. Okay. So not good.
But it's very, it's actually in some perfumes. They put it into it because from a distance and very small amounts, it's in almost every daffodil. It's wonderful. It's sweet, but too much of a good thing is too much.
Yeah.
But right now in the sunroom, the citrus have started to bloom, which is kind of early. They usually start in January, February, and orange blossoms, lemon blossoms, they're thick, but that's a wonderful fragrance. Do you grow any citrus at all?
You know, I never really have. And I was at a friend's and neighbor's the other evening, and they have two giant ones that they'd hauled in from outside, and they put them out in the growing season, and they have them in their living room. And I mean, the pots are like almost hip with a thigh high, and I don't know if they're, you know, 24 inch wide pot. You know, they're really big, and they're trees. I mean, these are trees. One is a lime and one's a lemon, and the lemon especially, it was covered in fruits. They weren't yellow yet, but it was covered in fruits. And I was like, what did you do?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
How did you make this? And they said it was that they've had the lemon for 5 years. Mm. Again, they put it outside in the garden in the growing season, but then it comes in and it's in the south window. Yeah. I mean, it's in their living room, so it's not like it's super cool or anything. Your sunroom is probably cooler or humid, right? And they said that they give it, or maybe once a month, they give it some fish emulsion, I guess pretty much year round, which is not a lot of fertilizer or anything. And that, I guess during the growing season, they had given it maybe one of those plant spikes or something, some type of fertilizer stick kind of thing that you put in the soil that was meant for, rated for citrus. And I don't know the brand, which I could try to find out, but, and they water kind of, you know, judiciously, a little sparingly in the off season. But boy, I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Do you remember if it was flowering and fruiting at the same time?
It was not flowering right now, but I have been there where there were in other years where there was this beautiful scent in the living room, as well as fruit still hanging. Yes.
Well, that lemon was probably Meyer lemon improved.
I think it is a Meyer. Yes. Yes.
Which is sort of, I guess it's a hybrid of an orange and a lemon. And if you have to try to grow a citrus, that's the one to grow. It's really the most forgiving and the easiest to grow to get fruit. Right. And if you've got a south window, oh boy. And if it's cool in the winter, oh boy. And if you can summer it outdoors, it's possible to have your own fruit. And that the fruits smell wonderful too.
Oh, yes.
I grow another one. Have you ever seen Buddha's hand?
Yeah. Only that you've shown me, but yeah.
Oh, at Wave Hill, they have wonderful ones.
Oh.
The fruits kind of look like they're big, and they kind of look like octopuses because they have all these tentacles and there's no moist fruit to eat. It's all pith inside, but that's another one. You can cut that and put it in a bowl, and for a month, you'll have a beautiful, beautiful fragrance, which is sweet perfume, orangey, but it's great.
So citrus maybe trying medica. Citrus, huh? I might do this. I might try this and see what happens. Because it's just so, there's just something so, I don't know. It's like having not just fragrance, but a harvest in the winter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's so much completes the year.
What are they going to do with all those lemons?
You know, they're very interesting. They cook a lot. And one of the two people, he makes sorbets and stuff. Sure.
Oh.
You know, they make ice cream, a lot of baking, jams, jellies, whatever. But actually we had some lime sorbet after our supper. So I guess, you know, if life deals you lemons, make sorbet, right? Is that the deal?
Absolutely. I'm so glad to hear that they use them because.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They love them. Yeah. So what about other house plants that you would say we could give a try if we want some indoor fragrance?
Well, I have a house plant that's related to something you and I both experienced. It's a kind of sestrum.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
But sestrum paquii doesn't smell like sestrum nocturnum. It's a much lighter scent, but the really great, and the flowers are yellow. And the great thing about it, it's never out of bloom. This thing blooms always. It's always in bloom. And it only smells at night. So it's in the sunroom. I don't smell it unless I go in and find it. And as I said, I actually think that the sestrum nocturnum smell is, well, it's more perfumey and it's certainly strong. And we guessed that since it was related to peppers and solanum plants. Is that right? Solanaceae?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, plants in the pepper family that maybe the molecules in the air could be dangerous to someone who's sensitive.
Well, because you and I, just so people know why you're saying I'm sensitive to it, is because a million years ago, we were at a dinner party. It was actually out on a terrace,
mm-hmm.
But the plant was right close to the table.
And big, a big plant with lots
and
of flowers.
As the evening came on, the night blooming jasmine, Sestrum nocturnum, did its thing, and I almost did my thing for good.
Yep.
That was almost the end of Margaret.
We had to escape.
I always wondered about, this is a total aside, but you know, some of the lilies that people include in floral arrangements and so forth on a dinner table, some of them are just so perfumey to me.
You can't taste the food.
No, exactly. And that's what it spoils it too, even if it doesn't make you sick like it makes me, kind of wheezy. But anyway, so is this Sestrum paquii,
P-A-Q-U-I-I.
Sestrum paquii. We'll have to look for that. I wonder if places like Logies and some probably, of the other mail order catalogs
have them. I think I got it from, what's that place that sells seed and plants? It's a woman you know. Oh, I can't believe it. Can't remember.
I don't know. Select Seeds.
Yeah, okay. I think that's what it is.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I'll look for a source for it with the transcript of the show. What about like true jasmines? Because that's not a true jasmine, even though the common name is jasmine, right? Okay.
Well, I very much like, and also can grow, Jasminum sambac. And the one that everybody has is Maid of Orleans. There's lots of different selections and double ones. I can't grow any of the other ones. But Jasminum sambac, Maid of Orleans, little flowers. And the fragrance is jasmine, but it's not that deep lily-like fragrance of some of the jasmines. It's a very warm, high fragrance. And for me, it never has more than, it might have 10 flowers. And they're tiny. They're smaller than dimes, probably. But I love that smell.
Is it like a viney thing? Or what is it?
No,
what's the plant
shrubby.
Like? Shrubby. And so does it get very big? Like I'm trying to visualize how
big. Well, it doesn't get big for me. And it's not a pretty plant. It has okay green leaves. But, you know, I don't have a south window like some people. So everything here is kind of leggy and a branch goes one way and a branch goes another way. And I'm after flowers. So I just want to keep all those flowering parts going. And it doesn't bloom year round. It blooms mostly in the spring and summer. But that's a really nice fragrance. I used to grow jasmine, and I think it was Grandiflorum, which is the one that's in Chanel number 5.
Oh.
And that's a vine. Viney.
That's why I asked, because in my head I had like jasmine is a vine. I'm visualizing vine.
Right.
So I must have, yeah. Okay.
It's like and the flowers are bigger and they're sort of like, I was going to say spiders. Well, they're stars and they have lots of little points and very different looking flower.
So in the last, we have, 2-3 minutes. I have to just know, can I possibly grow a gardenia? Because can I do that? Have you ever? Do you succeed with them?
I think you could. You could. Mm-hmm. Well, can you grow rosemary?
Yeah, you mean indoors in the winter? Yeah, I have one cool kind of a mudroom with good windows. Yeah.
I think that's where the gardenia would make it.
The
only gardenias that I've seen outside of greenhouses in homes have been like right by the front door where the draft is, which isn't so good, but in very cool places for the winter.
Okay.
And then the watering is like, oh my God, too much or too little, too late. You know how that is? Dries, it dies. But also if it's overwatered, it rots. So you have to really be careful. Probably if you had a cool place, you could ignore it a bit. Probably it's probably too much care is what gets them. And now there's a lot of different ones. There's even quote unquote hardy ones to like Georgia.
Oh,
a few different kinds. They say zone 7, but you know how they say stuff. Telling them.
The authorities.
But we're not in zone 7. But I know that there are some that are hardier now. But yeah, you can grow them. I don't know if you'd want to grow them.
Yeah. Give
it's
it a try.
Strong.
Oh, okay. It might be too much for me. Yeah. 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 No, it's just, it's that kind of a thing that, we've all heard about them and seen them. And, it's sort of a aspirational or whatever. Because
and
the
ones you would grow as a house plant or in a greenhouse, if you weren't in production, the flowers are like an inch and a half. They're not like those gigantic ones that you can sometimes get at a florist that are
okay.
3.5 inches across. And then they turn yellow and you can float them in a bowl. It's a very nice gift, I'd say, birthday gift for someone. Right. One flower.
Well, I'm going to strive for a year of scent, thanks to Ken Drews, author of The Sensual Garden. And we're going to have that giveaway with the transcript of the show of runawaytogarden.com. Thank you, Ken. And I'll be pestering you later for some tips about some of these things.
And we'll have lots of pictures too. We can show pictures.
Right. Well, with the transcript, we'll have all the pictures and I'll find some sources and all that kind of good stuff. So thank you. Thanks for making time to.
Oh, thanks, Margaret. It's great.
Okay.
Underwriting support from Color Blends, supplying top quality spring blooming Dutch flower bulbs to landscape professionals and ambitious home gardeners. More information on the web, colorblends.com.
And thanks to all the rest of you for making time. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Stitcher or on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com. And on Facebook and on Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy scented gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.